Thank you for this nice introduction. So, as professor introduced me, that my name is Mir Alimuddin, and right now I'm a postdoctoral fellow at SN Bose Center. So today I will talk about how information causality principle plays a crucial role in rationalizing quantum compositions. So before coming to the point, I'll very briefly introduce about myself. So I did my PhD from ISI Kolkata, and after submitted my thesis, I work as a research associate as well as postdoctoral, which is right now, currently I am doing postdoc at SN Bose Center. So these are my topics of interest. So I did a quantum thermodynamics and entanglement theory, and also I did quantum information and communication theory, and I also did some part of quantum foundation also. So today I will, and I total I did 18 publications, 9 are doing PhD and 9 are doing postdoc. So today I'll talk about these foundational aspects, what I have done. Mainly I will talk about these two works, and as well as some part of this one also. So before coming to the main points or main presentations, let me introduce this with these pictures. So we can see this is some Gutenberg printing press, one of the most influential machine or some discovery in this human civilizations, and it actually copied knowledge and spread that knowledge throughout the, enormously you can spread this knowledge, and that is only possible because of this type of printing machines. And if you look carefully to this printing machines, it's the whole object is constituted by some few parts. Whether the individual parts does not carry very good meanings. Obviously, it has some meaning, but overall, it carries a great meaning. And this reminds me of one quote of Aristotle: "The whole is greater than sum of its parts." Now, look into the some modern compositions. Look into this composition, some civil compositions, some complicated machine, some computer-related chips or machine-related chips, electronic devices, neural networks. So all these compositions carries a great meaning to today's science or today's inventions. Now, the earlier compositions are the valid compositions. Now, these figures, I took those figures from the papers of Roger Penrose and his father's L.S. Penrose papers. So you see, these are some impossible compositions. If you look into these pictures, so the individual parts are the valid parts. This part is a valid, this is a valid, this is a valid, but this whole object is not a valid anymore. One can easily visualize it. And then this lower one, it is the composition of the impossible parts. I mean, the three things is combined in a peculiar way so that it is again in impossible compositions. One is this infinite ladders or infinite stairs. This is a valid composition. This is a valid, but this as a whole is not a valid composition. So this will so keep these things in our mind. Today, what we'll talk about, the quantum compositions or the individual systems or quantums, and we'll try to see what type of compositions are valid in nature, what type of compositions are not valid or impossible in nature. So this is the plan of my talks. First, I will introduce the operational theoretic framework. People call it generalized probability theory. And then what we mean by space-like and time-like paradigms. Then I'll introduce one game, the Pairrose distinguishable game. And also with these games, how we can exclude some of the composition. In these papers, we have done it, this paper in 2022. And then I'll show the more accepted principles, that one of the accepted, main people widely accepted these principles is information causality principle, how this information causality principle plays a crucial role to make some comments about the impossible and possible compositions in quantum world. And then I'll conclude. Let's come to the operational theoretic frameworks. So in lab, what we do in lab, We prepared some states, and then we evolved that state or that systems through time. So that is the transformations. And then we perform some measurements and observe some values, some real values. So actually, when we define any theory, we have to rely on these three tuples. The first quantity is the collection of preparations, which we call states. The second one is the collection of effects or observable, what we see in nature, or what we can see. I mean, no, it is not always necessary to imply the nature, but okay. And then the third one is the collection of transformation that tells about the dynamics of the given systems. So we don't require this transformations part for today's talks. I'll only talk about the preparation and major scenario. And these pictures I have taken from Harrigan's and Teddy Rudolph's papers. Now, a bit more mathematically, if I say, I mean, what is this operational and theoretic framework? What is the state? The state is a convex set embedded in some real vector space. So, in general, the state is a set of convex set, which is also compact. But for mathematical convenience, if I take the un so state is actually normalized things. But if I for the mathematical convenience, if we take the all unnormalized state, then it will form a convex cone. Okay, the convex cone will be denoted by V plus. And then what is the effect? The effect is dual of this convex cone. And what is this dual means? Dual means E would be a valid effect if it gives a positive number between 0 to 1 over all the states. If the effect gives the positive number between 0 to 1 over all the states omega, then I will call it as a valid effect. And why it is 0 to 1? Because it will assign some probability that is required. Let's try to understand. Now, what is the measurement? The measurement is a collection of effects such that the sum would be a unit effect. And what is this unit effect? Unit effect is something that over all states, it gives a probability 1 always. Now, let's try to understand one toy example. You see, this is a square bit model. This is a square bit model. This green region is the state convex set. Omega naught, omega 1, omega 2, omega 3, their convex set is the state space. And then the convex cone, if I this point and this omega naught, this point and omega 1, and if I draw a line, then that would be our convex cone. And then what is the effect? So effect is this is the valid effect that gives a probability over all these states. And the effect cone is this line. So the line, the red line, this going through this E1 is going through this E0, E2, E3, this line. So if you look into the top view is like that, where the state cone omega naught, omega 1, omega 2, and omega 3. And the effect cone, effect, this effect, E1, E2, E3 are 45 degree rotated. Okay, when this state cone and effect cone actually merge, will merge with each other, then we'll call it self-dual. Otherwise, they are not self-dual. And we'll recall this model in a later part also. So this will recall this state omega naught, omega 1, omega 2, omega 3, and this measurement, it will form a measurement. E1 and E3 will form a measurement. E0 and E2 will form a measurement. Because if we add E0 and E2, then it will give U. Just for this one. Yeah. Now in the elementary quantum system, let's take some physical model. So elementary quantum systems are described by some Hilbert space H. Now, what is the state cone? State cone is the all positive operator over all positive operator, which is a subset over the set of all Hermitian operators. Now, if we take the normalized state, if we put a restrictions that put a normalization condition that over all the positive operator, if we take trace one, then those elements will be the states. And those are nothing but the density operator. So you can visualize the density operator in this picture. So this is a block sphere. In this block sphere, all the elements inside and the surface are the trace one positive operator and their valid states. And if we want to visualize the state cone, that cannot be visualized here because that would lie in a R4 plane, in R4 space, real space. So that cannot be visualized here. But okay, one can intuitively understand what will be the structure of it. And what will be the measurement? Now, here is the important point. The quantum theory is a self-dual. So measurement is also a measurement is also the measurement elements or effect elements. Effects are also belongs to the this positive operator. And their summation would give us the identity. Now, what will be the composite systems in GPT? Now, you see, when we talk about the composite systems, now I require two systems, system SA, and according to the GPT, that SA has the three distinct things. One is state space, effect space, and the transformation matrix. And the another system, SB, which has also state space, effect space, and the dynamics, dynamical quantities. Now, if I talk about if I want to see the joint systems or the systems as a together, then again, that according to the postulate, there should also be some state space omega AB, effect space EAB, and the transformation matrix. Now, what will be the structure of this joint state space or the joint descriptions? What will be the connection of this joint description with its individuals? Now, that things, so if we want to figure out what will be the composite, so this is the composite system, what will be the structure of these composite systems, let's consider some natural conditions and put those natural conditions on this composite, because the composite systems cannot be arbitrary, cannot be something which is very trivial, I mean very non-trivial. For example, obviously I have to take these conditions. What this condition says, okay, allow a effect EAB and allow a state omega AB. This pair you should have to allow such a way that it should give you a valid probability. Unless it will not give a valid meaning at all. I mean, probability has to be positive, 0 to 1. It cannot be a negative. So this is the this is called a consistency condition. Then the second condition is the no signaling condition. Suppose I have a systems. I take a system from here, and then if we are in a separated positions or in a separated lab, then if Alice is doing something, means suppose this is the X, and if I change the X value, then values of B should not change, or if you change the Y value, the values of A should not change. That is the no signaling condition. So obviously, compositions should allow such a states so that, or such a measurement so that the no signaling conditions has to be satisfied. So with these two conditions, and we require another condition, that is the local tromography. Okay, and now this local tromography, so this too has very good physical meaning, as I said, but this local tromography for these things, it's a bit more mathematical. I cannot properly say what is the physical meaning of this local tomography. Maybe Professor Lucien Hardy can tell me more about these things. It is sometimes called local holisms. He and Professor Wouters has done one work regarding that and many other work also. So what this local tomography means, local tomography principle says, so if two parties which are in a separated lab, two parties given a single system many times and they are performing some local measurement and try and collecting the statistics. So performing the local measurement and looking into their statistics and communicating their statistics, what they are achieving, if they can certainly say which state is given, then that means that theory is satisfying local tomography. So, for example, our quantum theory satisfied local tomography, and many some other theories that doesn't satisfy local tomography. Now, the point is, these people, this bit more mathematical, they have what they have said that If these three conditions is satisfied, then what type of composition would be possible? They said that okay, there would not be any single type of compositions. There would be infinite possible compositions, and the two extreme compositions would be one of this is this one. I'll tell more detail what these compositions. One extreme is this one, another extreme is this one. So and the, in between them there is a lots of other compositions. What is this maximal tensor product compositions? It says that it is one extreme. Why I'm saying it is one extreme, it would be clear. So this maximal tensor composition is that is such where the effects are only the product type of effects, effects of EA and EB, and only their tensor product and nothing else. I mean, no entangled type of effects which cannot be written in this convex combination of EA tensor EB, those type of effects are not allowed. So in terms of effect, it is a very limited type of effects. So if I allow only this limited type of effects, and then what will be state or what will be this joint state space? Okay, whatever the states that gives us a positive probability, that would be a valid state in that compositions. So maximal tensor product compositions, although you are calling a maximal, but in terms of a effect, this is a very much restricted type of things, very much restricted operation. On the other hand, in the minimal tensor product compositions is other way around, while the state is very much restricted, the state is only separable type of states should be there, but the valid effect would be all those effects which gives a valid probability of over those separable states. Now in this regime I want to say some things. So these people Barker, they made a one conjecture over these compositions. They said that okay, if the marginal states, if the marginal state space is a simplex, one of the marginal is a simplex, then in the joint, in the composite system, there would not be any entangled effect or entangled states. There would not be any entangled states if the marginals are if the marginals are simplex. And marginals are simplex means a classical probability descriptions. So that was a conjecture. Barker, these people have given it as a conjecture. Then very recently, this Auberon and Lamy, they proved that this conjecture is a true actually. So if one of this is a simplex, then there would not exist any entanglement type of things. Okay, now so this is the toy model or the GPT theory. Let's come back to the more physical theory. What happens if this individual state space are quantum? Let's consider this is the qubit system. This is a qubit system. The density operator of this, the density operator of the valid state. Here also density operator of the valid state. Then what will be the composition? There also exists some minimal to maximal, that type of compositions, and it is not only a single compositions. So there would be a concept like a minimal composition of state cone. So you and understand the minimal composition of state cone. What is the minimal composition? You see here, recall the minimal one where the state space is a separable. So here the minimal, in the case of a minimal, the state cone or state space, I have to consider all possible state which are separable only. No entanglement is allowed in the state space. Then according to that, what will be the effect? So effect would be all valid Hermitian operator that gives us a positive probability over this separable state. And now this has a good mathematical structure. This is called weakness operator. So all weakness operator would be a valid effects. And it is sometimes called a POPT, positive over pure tensor. So it is a tensor. So pure tensor, okay, I mean pure tensor, because if it gives a positive over only the pure product type of states, then actually it would give the positive over all separable states also. So this is one composition, the set or minimal composition. In the so in minimal compositions, what is happening? Our state space is very much limited. It is only the separable, but effect space is getting enlarged. It is not only the effect of valid entangling effects, and not only the valid effects. There exists some effect which is beyond entangled. That is, the witness operator type of things are also the element of effects. Now, in the maximal compositions, this role gets exchanged. In the maximal compositions, what happens? The state, the effects are the product type of things. Only the separable type of operations are the valid effect. There, in the maximal composition, there is a no concept like entangled measurements or something like that. And in that case, states would be enlarged. All the POPT type of states, entangled state as well as POPT state, would be a valid states because those will give the positive probability. So it can be visualized more better way in these pictures. So here I have written three pictures. So I said in case of a quantum compositions, two quanta systems, there's a exist shape compositions or minimal, shape bar, maximal. And in between, there is a quantum composition. So in quantum composition is a self-dual, where the state cone and effect cone both are positive, positive operator, positive. So normalized states or density operator are the state space, and the state space is denoted by red. So all the positive operator in this state, normalized states are the density operator, and those are the valid state, and effect are also element of positive operator. Now here, look into the shape compositions where the state space got synced, or state space got limited. So you see, these type of states are not allowed. These are the states which are entangled. So only the separable kind of states are allowed. So since the state spaces get synced, the effect space got enlarged. So these are the some effect which is beyond quantum effects. Okay. But in the other case, here in the shape bar composition or maximal compositions, the effect space is get synced. So only the valid effects are the separable operations. But in that case, some states exist which is beyond quantum. So there exists some beyond quantum states, like POPT states or witness operator type of states. Those are exactly same. And not only that, there exists an infinite type of compositions. If I include one of the entangled states, then obviously some of the effects, here some of the effects would give negative. So that's why I have to reject that effect, and then effect spaces also get little bit synced. So in that way, infinite possible composition is possible. Now the question is, nature actually take these compositions. Still now, we explain our nature by taking only these compositions. Why not the other compositions? Why nature is so much selective with these quantum compositions? Is that okay? If nature is like that, can we give some principal type of things and some principles so that I can exclude, okay, this shape composition is not valid, or shape bar is not valid, or in between all those things are not valid? Or one might give an answer like that, okay, quantum is only self-dual here, and the other compositions are not self-dual. So that's why nature is very much symmetric type of things. But why nature is so symmetric? I don't know. We have to give some operational theory or physical theory or operational instances that can actually discard other compositions and select out or single out our quantum compositions or self-dual structure. Now let's see, people have tried, and let's see what they have found. Okay, so remember, these compositions actually give some states which is beyond quantum states. Okay, so I'll call it beyond quantum states because these states are not valid in quantum theory. So let me first introduce the space-like correlation scenario, because what happens, since there exists some beyond quantum states, so now one may ask, okay, due to the entangled states, we get some non-local correlations, which is not possible by some quantum resources or classical world that does not permit quantum non-local correlations. So since in the shape bar theory, there exists some state which is beyond quantum, which is much more peculiar than entangled. So can it give some correlations which is beyond entangled? So this type of correlations which is beyond entangled, okay, it would be no signaling. Obviously, there exists some correlations we know which is no signaling, but it is not existing quantum. So Can this type of compositions, where beyond quantum state exists, can they exhibit us some correlations which is beyond quantum or more non-local than quantum? Barnum have given this answer that no, it is not possible. What he have shown, okay, whatever the compositions you took, and whatever the correlations they will provide, although there exists some beyond quantum state, but in the operational perspective, in nature, if you do perform experiment and collect the statistics, whatever the statistics you will get in this space-like scenario, exactly same correlations you can get from quantum compositions. So there is a no distinction between, according to this probability distributions or no signaling correlations type of distribution, there is a no distinction between all this theory. In fact, this shape theory is much more peculiar because the shape theory only allowed separable type of states. And if you do Bell-like experiments, will not even get non-local correlations. So this shape is much more peculiar. Okay. Now let's move to the other scenario. Whether the other type of scenario, I'll tell what the other scenario is. Whether the other way can we discard these other compositions or beyond quantum compositions? So I'll skip this part. Yeah. Now, here I want to discuss the time-like scenario. So it is a time-like scenario. You see, the referee is in the causal past of Alice. This one is Alice and this one is Bob. The referee is in the causal past of Alice as well as Bob. Now, what happens? Suppose the referee is giving some classical index to Alice, and then Alice is encoding that index to some quantum states or whatever in any GPT system, and it send it to Bob, and then Bob performing some experiment on that systems and producing some classical output. So then this output and this input, it will give some correlations will be there, right? So it is a time-like correlations. This input and output statistics we can collect, and that is a time-like correlations. So now I will introduce one game that is called pairwise distinguishability game in this time-like scenario, and try to see whether in this time-like type of scenario, whether we can distinguish all those compositions or not. So here, the pairwise distinguishability game is defined in this way. So suppose referee has a four indices. I mean, for example, take four indices for classical number 1, 2, 3, 4. And referee arbitrarily choose one number and send it to Alice. So Alice is receiving either 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. But referee sent a pair of number to Bob, where one of the number is same with Alice's number, the other number is a random. So if referee sent Alice 1, then referee will send Bob either 1, 2 or 1, 3 or 1, 4 equally. Now the task is like that. Bob has to tell that whether Bob has to answer some eta, that is a classical index, and that if the eta tilde is equal to eta, mean what Alice is receiving, then they will win this game. But if eta tilde is equal to eta prime, then they will lose this game. So actually, Bob has to guess what Alice has given. That is the task. So it is a pairwise distinguishability game. A pair has been given. Then Bob has to distinguish which pair has given to Alice. Now, in this task, what they will do? I mean, okay, Alice can send some
Sorry,
system.
question.
Sorry.
Sorry, I didn't catch precisely what you said. Can you just repeat what the objective of the game is that Bob is supposed to wins if what condition holds?
So Bob will win this game if Bob can guess perfectly what Alice has given.
So this is an unordered set. The set that the referee sends is an unordered set. Is that right?
Exactly.
So
exactly. Means suppose.
Bob doesn't know which of the two elements is the one that was given to Alice. Okay.
Exactly.
Which are the four?
No, two. Two. Because there might be like four numbers that it could take, but Bob will just get two different numbers. So he just sees two numbers coming from the referee. One of those numbers was what Alice saw. And he has to figure out which is the number that Alice saw.
Oh, I see. So he
Exactly.
wants to know whether Alice got eta or eta prime from the referee. Something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if he gets perfect, if he gets perfectly what Alice got, then actually they will win this game. Otherwise, they will not. So this is called pairwise distinguishability game, I said. So P is the pairwise distinguishability, and N means how many numbers are in referee's hand. So in this case, what I told, if it is 4, then I'll write it 4 here. So what they will do, Alice can actually assist Bob with some communications, and that communications can be a classical communications, quantum communications, or something beyond some GPT states also. Now, before coming to that, so that is the basic formalism of this game. I'll come back to this game once again, but before that, I want to recall some definitions. So distinguishability, what distinguishability means? A set of states omega I belongs to omega are called perfectly distinguishable if there exists a measurement M. So exists a measurement. So it is a single measurement M such that it will give EI omega J is equal to zero if I and J are different, and I and J are equal, then it would give one. So for instance, let's consider a qubit case where in qubits, suppose 0 and 1 is given, and I can actually perfectly, I can perform a sigma z measurement and perfectly say, I can do a projective measurement, 0, 0 and 1, 1, and I can distinguish these two states. So then in the qubit cases, the two distinguishable states exist, right? Now, what is the operational dimension? Operational dimension, given a system S, the maximum cardinality of the set of states that can be perfectly distinguished by a single measurement is known as the operational dimension of the system. So for example, a qubit, the operational dimension is 2, because there exist only 2 states which can be distinguished perfectly by a single measurement. In a qubit system, there exist 3 states which can perfectly distinguished by a single measurement. Now I'm defining another quantity. Another quantity, which is information dimension. Now, given a system S, the maximum cardinality of the set of states that can be perfectly distinguished pairwise is known as the information dimension of the system. So, what information dimension means? So, suppose I have 4 states, omega 1, omega 2, omega 3, and omega 4. And in that state, if I can pairwise distinguishable any two states. So I choose any two states, omega 0 and omega 1 and omega 4. I can distinguish it perfectly by a measurement M1. Okay, omega 0 and omega 2. I can distinguish that also perfectly by measurement M2. Okay, in that case, I can change my measurements. That is okay. So if I can, so I want to see if I given I have given a theory, S, or this is a system. I have to check what is the maximum cardinality of the set so that all the, in that whole cardinality, I can distinguish the two states perfectly. And so they are pairwise distinguishable. For example, in quantum cases. So quantum cases, operational dimension is 2. 0, 1, we can distinguish perfectly. Now I am telling one example. Let's my set is 0, 1, k0. Which is a eigenstate of sigma z, k1, which is another eigenstate of sigma z, and plus, which is the eigenstate of sigma x. Now, these three states are not pairwise distinguishable. Okay, 0, 1 is pairwise distinguishable, but 0 and plus is not pairwise distinguishable, and 1 and plus is not pairwise distinguishable. In this case, 2 is the information dimension, because only 0 and 1 I can distinguish perfectly. So, operational dimension is also 2, and the information dimension is also 2. But there exists some theory, for example, that is square bit, where the operational dimension is 2, because I can maximally distinguish two states. That's a square bit. I already mentioned that omega 0, omega 1, omega 2, omega 3. I can distinguish only 2. But there, information dimension is 4. So omega 0, omega 1, omega 2, and omega 3, if I took any 2, omega 0 or omega 1, I can distinguish it perfectly. Omega 0 and omega 3, I can distinguish it perfectly. Actually, there exists a different measurement. For omega 0, omega 1, there exists a measurement. Omega 0, omega 2, there exists a measurement. Omega 0, omega 3, there exists another measurement. So it is called a dimension mismatch. Now, Brunner have shown that, okay, if you take a quantum type of quantum theory or quantum compositions or whatever, everything is density operator type of things, then the information dimension and operation dimension is same. There is a no mismatch. Okay, these things will remind.
Can you just say again what assumption implies that they're the same? I missed it.
Okay.
Brunner proved that in certain circumstances, these dimensions were the same.
So Brunner have shown that, okay, if I take the quantum theory, in case of a quantum theory, operational dimension and information dimension is, okay, it is a very trivial. Brunner did also something else also, but the operational, in case of a quantum theory, mean, okay, take a qubit, qubit, or take a two-qubit systems, whatever. In case of a quantum compositions, information dimension and operation dimension is equal. Because the orthogonal, if you take orthogonal set, if you consider the orthogonal states, then that would mean the operational dimension, because there exists a single measurement that can distinguish all those orthogonal states. And now, that is the biggest set, which is the PROS distinguishable. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. Now, this is a very intuitive, that the game I defined earlier, that is related to the information dimension, not the operational dimensions. So why? Because what Bob has to do? Bob has to, so suppose there is a 4 number, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I encode that. So now Alice is getting, now Alice, when Alice is receiving 1, he will encode it omegas 1, otherwise omega 2, omega 3, or omega 4. Now, suppose Zephyr is sending that number, eta and eta prime. Okay? Now, Alice is already encoding in omega 1, suppose. Now, Zephyr is sending, okay, omega 1, and Zephyr is sending to Bob that, okay, I send you 1 and 3. Then what he will do, he will perform a measurement and try to see whether the state is omega 1 or omega 3. And since the state is a pairwise distinguishable, he can perfectly understand, okay, the state is omega 1 or omega 3. That is clear. So this game is actually associated to the information dimension. Now, let's talk about a particular game where the n is 12. So referee has a 12 distinct number, 1, 2, to 12. Now we want to win this game, then I want to win this game with some physical systems. Now, obviously, I have, Alice has to send a C12 systems, because in C12 systems, information dimension is 12, and that is necessary. But suppose he has only qubit, not a C12. Then how many, so sending a single qubit, because sending a single qubit means it has the only information dimension 2. So he will not win this game perfectly. So he can send 2 qubit, but 2 qubit information dimension would be 4, because 4 distinguishable states are there and information dimension is also 4. If he sends 4 qubit, if he sends 3 qubit, then 8 distinguishable states are there. He has to send 4 qubit. Then the information dimension is 16, operational dimension is also 16, and he can win this game perfectly. So if Alice send a 4 qubit system, he can win this game. But this is our main part of this theory. In that I told earlier that he has to send 4 qubit, but that is a quantum compositions. But if he has some safe compositions, that is the minimal compositions, then sending a 2 qubit systems only, he can win this game perfectly. Because in case of a, I'll show you later that information dimension of the set theory got 12. So actually it is an enormous advantage. So it gives what it says. So in the time, so you don't require a 4 qubit. You only require a 2 qubit and safe compositions. You have to rely on the safe compositions, And if you rely on the safe compressors, you can win this game and you can save a 2 qubit in the game. Only two sending 2 qubits, so you are saving 2 qubits. And now what will this composition is actually playing the role. It has information dimension got 12, and that's why it becomes more powerful. So the safe compositions, so what we learn here, the safe compositions in the time-like scenario give some peculiar type of correlations, which is more unlikely in the space-like scenario, because in the space-like scenario, it is not able to, not even giving some correlations which is non-local. But in the time-like scenario, it is giving some correlations which is even beyond quantum, more than quantum. So this is the some technical part of this result, some generalizations. I'm not going to talk about these things. Now, what about, according to that, I can say if I believe this game is impossible, since we have shown that this game is impossible to win by quantum theory, but it is possible to win by set theory. That's why I made a cross, because it gives a too much powerful. It gives us a too much powerful things. Now, what about the other compositions? We have seen the other compositions also shows this type of peculiarity and this one. Now, one might ask, okay, safe compositions and safe bar compositions is giving some peculiar correlations in time-like scenario. Okay. That's why you are actually discarding these things. This is not a very good thing. I mean, you give some principal type of things, then I'll accept it, because you give another game, and why I would believe in that game. Now, that is the second part of the talk.
Mir is a question.
Yes, please.
Yes. Sorry, I just wanted to before you move on to excluding the case on the right, just wait, when you said one can exclude the separable theory, what did you think of as the axiom that when you say you can't win this game too well, you want that axiom to be something like it should take you 4 qubits to win the game with dimension 12? Or is it some other form? Like, because if that axiom sort of comes from your knowledge of quantum theory that it should take you 4 qubits, I'm just, can you clarify what you think the axiom is that rules out that theory?
Exactly. So what I told that it is much more powerful the quantum, powerful than quantum. So in case of a quantum, I require a four qubit communications. But in case of a safe compositions, only I require a 2 qubit communications. So it becomes a too much powerful. And if I go to the higher order game, or I take the higher number of safe bits, so it increases enormously. That is the only peculiarity I have seen.
Okay, let me try to ask my question again. That you say too much power, but often when we play these axiomatization games, we look for axioms where I can express too much power in a way that doesn't require me to already know what quantum theory can do. Like I can say, oh, this seems too powerful, kind of, and it's not based on my quantum intuitions. And so I'm trying to understand where you get some notion of too much power that isn't just, hey, it's more powerful than quantum theory, so it's too powerful. Like I'd rather just say it's too powerful and that helps us get to quantum theory. But do you have a notion of too powerful that isn't just more powerful than quantum theory?
Exactly. That's why I'm also not satisfied. But okay, it is a bit powerful than quantum. Then okay, a bit powerful. But next part, or what I would say, okay, it is that much powerful so that it can actually violate some physical principle.
Okay, so you're moving that direction. Okay.
Well, maybe a possible response would be that this game is one where quantum theory doesn't have any advantage over classical theory, right? Like the classical dimension would also be 12 or greater in order to win the game. And so we might say that we're going to admit physical theories, but they shouldn't be able to perform better at this game than classical theories. And quantum theory does that.
And sort of distinguish
Yes, that is true. That is
yes,
true.
Makes sense.
Perfect.
Okay.
That is true.
One more question.
So when you said that with these minimal compositions, only 2 qubits are necessary. So with this minimal composition, you have only product states, but you have some beyond quantum effects, right?
Exactly.
So Alice is only going to send product states, but Bob can do like more crazy measurements. Okay.
Exactly, exactly. And that more crazy measurement actually empowers it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So still, as pointed out that it is more than classical, more than quantum, but I am not satisfied. Yes, that is exactly okay. So that motivates. I mean, that's why I'm coming to the next part of this talks, the information causality principles. So actually, I'll show that it would violate these known principles, this information causality principle. So before coming to this information causality principle, let me very briefly tell about what this information causality principle means. So information causality, the basic foundation of this information causality is some entropic conditions and their properties, like a data processing inequality and then some chain rule. But I'm not going to that direction. So I'll very briefly tell what this information causality principle is and what is our requirement to prove these things. So information causality principle is a generalization of the no signaling conditions. So, and it says it limits the information gain that a receiver, say Bob, can reach about the previously known or previously unknown to him data set of sender Alice by using two type of resources.
So we have a technical problem. Can you hear us?
That's coming back.
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's okay. We're back now. Okay, the screen went blank, but we're back.
So it requires the two type of resources. So type one resources is some resources, which is, I mean, before starting the game or before starting the task, some pre-shared resources. Pre-shared resources between Alice and Bob, sender and receiver. So I'll call it type one resource. And this other resource is the type two resource, which is the communication resources. And from Alice to Bob. And then information causality principle actually, now these both type one and type resources can be classical, quantum, and beyond quantum. For example, the type of resource, classical means shared randomness, quantum means entanglement, and beyond quantum means some no signaling correlations, for example, PR correlations. While the type two resources, classical means a C-bit communications, quantum means a qubit communication, and beyond quantum means some G-bit communications or the shape compositions communications also it can be. Okay. The information principle provides a way to test their physicality. Okay. Now let me introduce or motivate you in this way. Now, suppose Alice and Bob shared some type one or pre-shared resources that might be classical, quantum, and no signaling. And obviously, since they are no signaling, they does not have their own communications utility. Okay, that is good. But suppose Alice want to send a qubit. Then how much information Alice can send to Bob? Okay, Holoba principle is saying that, okay, they can send only 1 bit of information. Although they are sending a qubit, more powerful powerful elements, but they can only send 1 qubit information, 1 C-bit information. But if some P-shared resources, for example, some entanglement is there, then actually they can send 2 C-bit. That is the seminal work of super dense coding paper. So in the presence of entanglement, this qubit communications can actually mean entanglement can actually empower a qubit communications. Okay, now if I ask the questions, can entanglement empower a classical communications? Suppose Alice is sending a classical communications, 1 C-bit, and there is some entanglement, pre-shared entanglement. Now they cannot. Now this with this entanglement, they cannot make a 2 C-bit communications. And now we are in a position to state the principle of IC principle. So IC principle is the generalized of these things. It is a no-go principle where we say, so suppose Alice and Bob are communicating some M-bit classical communications. So So Alice is sending MBIT classical communications. Then, if Alice and Bob share some type on resources or some physical resources, then they cannot send more than MBIT information. So if M is 1 CBIT, then if they share some classical correlations, they cannot send more than 1 bit information. If they share entanglement, then also they cannot send more than 1 bit information. On the other way around, if they share some no signaling correlations, for example, PR type of correlations, obviously the other one also no signaling correlations, but some beyond quantum correlations, for example, PR correlations, then PR correlations with 1 CBIT, they can actually send more than 1 CBIT. And that is the violation of information causality. So information causality principles actually talk about the unphysicality of these shared correlations. This because these shared correlations can make the classical communications line more powerful. So in the very this way, I can say the restricting the type to resources. So in the most of the cases, the information causality actually used in this particular scenario. But the type to resource, mean or communicated resource, is a classical. And then we actually check the unphysicality of the pre-shared resources, the type 1 resources, whether the type 1 resources is unphysical or not. But here, in our study, we'll do the reverse things. What we'll do, type 2 resource, we'll take the type 2 resource, will vary the type 2 resources. I mean, the communication resource, I will take classical, quantum, beyond quantum. But the type 1 resource, which is a P-shared resource, that will keep as a classical resource. And then we'll try to see whether they can send more informations. And if they, in case they send more informations, then we'll say IC principle will be violated, because that is the another facet of the IC principle that people use, but it is a limited number of work is there, these other facets. So it will be much more clear in this next slide. So this classical type 1 resources is, that is a fixed resource. And now we want to judge this type 2 resources. This is
right, just the classical one. Make sure I'm understanding. You're saying everybody agrees that a quantum channel's capacity can be enhanced by shared quantum entanglement. And then the first principle of information causality is that a classical channel cannot be enhanced through shared entanglements. And you're proposing a second version of information causality, which is that a quantum channel cannot have its capacity enhanced by classical shared randomness?
Exactly. Exactly. So in the Pawlowski in 2009, in that paper, so whatever the principle they have given, so that principle is actually valid for this type of scenario also. That is the other facet. So the classical, this resource would be fixed. Now if they send a classical, if they send some C-bit or Q-bit, then the status of the information principles would be same.
Okay.
Now, what happens? Suppose let me introduce a task, and this task will actually boil down to some sufficient conditions of this IC principle. Because information causality principle is a very generalized concept. And these people, this Pawlowski and their colleague, also actually arrived some sufficient condition of information causality principles that I'm going to tell you right now. Now, suppose Alice is receiving a n-bit string. And this n-bit string A1 to AN. And then, and that is very, that is random, this A1 to AN. So 2 to the power n number is there, and all the string can come with the probability 1 divided by 2 to the power n. Now, Bob is receiving a random value B. And this, when Bob will receive a random value B, if Bob receives B is equal to 1, then Bob has to answer what is the bit Alice is receiving at A1 position, whether it is 0 or 1. So that is the main game. Now let's look into the quantity. This is a conditional mutual information. So it says if B is equal to K, so that means, and this beta is the answer of Bob. So if the beta and AK got same, then the information would be one actually. The mutual information should be one. So B is equal to K, then Bob has to get Kth bit of Alice's. So this is the quantity. Okay. This is the, now the information causality principle says that this quantity, this IN quantity has to be bounded by the Holebo capacity. And what is the Holebo capacity means? Okay. In case of the CBIT, the Holebo capacity is one. If I send a CBIT, Holebo capacity is one. If I send a qubit, the Holebo capacity is still one, only a single qubit. Now, if I send a CBIT with assistant with shared randomness, then the Holebo capacity is one. If I send a qubit with the assistant with shared randomness, then also the Holebo capacity is one, because I cannot send more than one bit of information using one qubit. If I send a 2 CBIT, this Holebo capacity would be 2. If I send a 2 qubit, the Holebo capacity would be 2. 2 is very important. 2 qubit scenario is very important. Because if I send a 2 qubit, the Holebo capacity would be 2. So then this IN should be bounded by 2. Now, what is the Holebo capacity? The Holebo capacity of a system captures the optimal rate of transfer of classical information when asymptotically many copies of the systems are transferred. Okay, let me introduce these definitions. So the information capacity, this is not the information dimension. So the information capacity of the minimal composition, let's talk about the I have to figure out what is the minimal, what is the Holebo capacity for the safe compositions or minimal compositions or maximum composition or safe or safe bar, because it might happen that the Holebo capacity of safe and safe bar is greater than 2. Although they are 2 qubit, but it might happen that they are greater than 2. But we can see that is not actually greater than 2. That is again bounded by 2. So information capacity of the minimal compositions of k local systems. So let's k is equal to 2 local systems. Each of dimension d means let's take a 2. That is d to the power k. So 2 to the power 2. That is 4. That we have shown in our work. And that is not very non-intuitive. So the information dimension is actually how many orthogonal states you can send asymptotically. That is the main notion of the information capacity. Asymptotically, how many number of systems you can, how many number of systems you can send so that they can distinguish it perfectly. So it boils down to the orthogonal states. So in case of a minimal composition and maximal compositions, if I take a 2 qubit compositions, then minimal and maximal, both these cases, the information capacity would be 4 and 4. And then if you take log base with 2, then you will get 2, which is the Holebo capacity. So that we have shown that the Holebo capacity for safe compositions and safe bar compositions both is 2. So this theta value by itself is a 2. Now, if I show that, if I consider this, if I violate this quantity, I mean, if this quantity is greater than 2, then the information causality principle will be violated. Now that we have shown and that we have seen actually. So we are playing this A0 to AN, that is, we take a 3-bit string, and then Bob receiving either 1 or 2 or 3. So this is the input string that Alice is receiving, 000. If Alice is receiving 000, then Alice's encoding would be plus and plus. And then Bob will receive either 1 or 2 or 3. If Bob receives 1, he will perform M1 measurement, M2 or M3. So M1 measurements, M1 measurements has a two POV, two effects. One is E1 and another is identity minus E1. And if E1 clicks, then he will assign 0. In case of M2, if E2 clicks, he will assign 0, otherwise 1. In case of M3 is a very simple type of measurement. So identity and sigma z type of measurement. So in that way, you see, in the safe compositions, they choose only the product type of states. But this M1 and M2, these measurements are beyond quantum measurements. although this E3 is not beyond quanta, and optimally what we are getting, we are receiving that I3, this quantity, is actually crossing the bound, Holebo bound, 2.19. So it is actually violating the IC principle. And now, so this is actually discarded by through the IC principle. Now, in case of a maximal compositions, where the state space is got enlarged, so there exists some states which is beyond quantum also. So we find out 8 states. With this 8 state, we encode this 8 string with this 8 state. This is a gamma phi plus. Gamma phi plus means I take a partial transpositions over one of the element of this phi plus, and that becomes a witness, which is not a positive anymore. Because gamma transpose is a positive operator. If it acts over phi plus, so it would not be anymore a positive operator. And now they are performing some product type of measurements only, x and x. So limited measurements, x and x. They are not even using it because in their theory, entangled measurement is not allowed. Only the beyond quantum states are allowed. So they encode it in the beyond quantum states. Some of our quantum state and some of our beyond quantum states. And they are using product measurement, and they perfectly win this game. That is the optimal bound. I3, they are receiving 3 with this encoding. And that is the most interesting part. So this concludes the safe bar compositions is also showing peculiarity, and it violates the IC principles. So this is the work that was published. So in conclusion, what I would say, in the first part, what we have shown, that although all these compositions cannot show peculiarity in space-like scenario, they cannot even give a non-local, some of the compositions even cannot give a non-local correlations, but in the time-like scenario, they shows peculiarity. This shows peculiarity than classical, than quantum. But not only that, we have actually checked through some established principle, information causality principle, and the information causality principle here plays a great role, because information we use information causality principles to check whether a correlation is beyond quantum or not. But here we use the information causality principles to see a theory, whether that theory is beyond quantum or not. And these things justify, our work does bring some physical justifying towards the self-dual structure for multipartite quantum systems. Although the other, in between, there exist other compositions. We don't know what is the status of information causality principle for other compositions, but at least we can say in the other compositions, in all the other compositions where this type of states and this type of effects exist, obviously information causality principle will be violated. And yes, that's all. Thank you. If you have any questions or query, please, I'll love to answer. Yeah.
Thank you. So we have some time for questions.
I have a question. Am I right in thinking that there's a whole spectrum of tensor products between min and max tensor product, of which, quantum theory is the one kind of self-dual point? It seems to me that what you showed at the end was that like the two extremes of the spectrum give you violations of information causality. But if it didn't seem to me that you picked out the quantum point as the unique one that satisfies it. But have you indeed excluded all the other sorts of tensor products?
No. I have not excluded all others. That's why I said that, okay, at least I can say in all those compositions where this type of extreme effect, because I choose some of the effects and some of the states and show this peculiarity. So in all those, in between all those compositions where this type of states and effect exist, those can be excluded. But we have to figure it out whether the, in case of the other extreme, because the main point is, I don't know how to construct the other extreme, the other in-between compositions, so that I will check it. That is the main difficulty, because if I include one entangled state, then some of the effect would be immediately discarded. And I mean that is a peculiar type of things. I don't know how to go along, take some in-between compositions and check it. But obviously, I accept this, that my work does not single out quantum compositions. It only excludes the two extreme compositions.
Okay, thanks.
Matt.
So another comment along those lines is another axiom of GPTs that you didn't comment on too much is the no restriction hypothesis. So which is the idea that, you know, once you've specified your state space, you take all of the valid effects. Whereas there are also theories where you don't impose that and you just take some subset of the dual cone. So do you have any comments on what happens if you do that to the results?
I think the no restriction condition is taken, right? I think this is
the no restriction. Do you have any comments on what happens if you drop the no restriction? What happens to the results if you drop the no restriction hypothesis?
Okay, the first speculative would be, okay, there would be lots more compositions and some negative probability would come, but I don't know. I don't know what will happen. Obviously, lots more compositions would exist immediately. But that is interesting. I mean, at least from a mathematical perspective, that would be interesting. I mean, some negative probability would come, obviously, but from some mathematical perspective.
I have another question. So I guess I want to tell you what I don't like about the information causality principle, and then maybe you can respond and then say why I'm wrong to not like it. So what I don't like about it is that it's an asymptotic notion, but it presents itself as sort of appealing to maybe intuitions about causality or something like that. So it seems to me like the story we tell is about the intuition that kind of doesn't match the mathematical formalism. So what I mean is like if instead of looking at the mutual information, you had looked at the probability of guessing correctly. So it's the same game you described, but the figure of merit now is what's the maximum probability that Bob can guess correctly the particular bit in the string of bits that the referee asks Bob to guess. Then quantum theory does offer an advantage, right? That you know, with a single qubit, you might have expected. So let's say you know, the referee gives two bits to Alice. She prepares a single qubit state, and then Bob finds out from the referee which of the two bits he's supposed to guess. So if you use Wiesner's multiplexing scheme, he has 85% probability.
I cannot hear now.
Oh, sorry. Hello?
Yeah. Please repeat. Can you repeat, please?
Yes, I can repeat. So I'm thinking of a game. An instance, the game you described, where Alice gets two bits from the referee, and then Bob gets told which of the two bits he needs to provide back to the referee. And let's say Alice sends one qubit over to Bob. There's Stephen Wiesner proposed this multiplexing scheme where you can show that Bob's probability of guessing correctly is 85% on average. Whereas the intuition that, you know, it's a Halevo bound, if I just say, well, you know, how well could Bob guess if you know, Alice just sends a qubit to him, you know, it feels like the answer should be, you know, 75%. If Bob's only getting one bit of information, then he should only be able to sort of randomly guess the second bit and be able to guess perfectly one of the bits. So all I'm saying is that if you describe the figure of merit in terms of probability of guessing correctly, then it seems like quantum mechanics has an advantage. Like you can guess better than you would have expected. Anyway, so what I guess I've always wondered about information causality is, you know, where does the asymptotic nature of this task come in? Like why should I require this asymptotic task to pick out quantum theory? Shouldn't I be able to come up with a single shot version that picks out quantum theory from the landscape? Anyhow, that's my challenge.
I got your point. And this is one of the most interesting aspects because, so recently, actually, I skipped one slide. In 2015, let me tell in this way. So the task you told me that I'm sending some, so I have some number, one, two, let's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. and I'm sending one qubit. I encode this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 numbers in some qubit, psi 1, psi 2, psi 3, psi 4, psi 5, and send it to you. And then you're performing a measurement and try to guess 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it is a perfect single shot type of thing. Each and every one I have to do. And in that way, I can get some statistics. Now, recently, in 2015, Frankel and Winner, they have shown a they have shown that, okay, this type of classical input and classical output task. So you see, the information causality principle is a little more different. I mean, in the information causality principle, receiver gets another input. So let's forget that input right now. So it is a simply a point-to-point communication task where Alice is receiving some number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then he is encoding into some quantum system and he is sending that quantum system to Bob. And then Bob is purely guessing the numbers. Okay, it might be the guess is, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or it might be something else also. So they will, then finally what they will arrive? They will arrive some probability statistics between this input and that output. Now the question is, in case of a quantum, whatever the probability statistics I will get. Okay, one case, one very simple case is the guessing correctly. What I want to send you, one has to, receiver has to guess the same thing, same number. That is a particular, very specific case. But if I go beyond of that, if I take all the probability statistics, I mean, whatever my inputs and the, whatever the output they will get, and then if I send one qubit and if I take some assisted shared randomness, whatever the statistics I will arrive, the same statistics can be arrived by only a C-bit communications with shared randomness. And this is a very good thing. What you told me that I dislike the information causality principle. Yes, obviously, because in the probability, in this probability type of single shot type of experiment, a classical communications and a quantum communication is exactly the same. And in this regard, in 2018, Dalarno and some other people, they give a principle is called no restriction hypothesis. So that no restriction hypothesis is not based on this information causality principles or like that. That rather, that no hyper-signaling principle is motivated on these probabilities, stochastics probability, whatever the achievable stochastics probability, classical stochastic probability can be achieved by a classical or quantum systems. So in these systems, what they have done, suppose I am sending a system S, and to simulate the same statistics, how much C-bit is required? Let's figure it out. It is a 2 C-bit is required. Now, if I take the composite of these systems, then one will say, okay, I need then 4 C-bit. If it is a 4 C-bit, then the principal will say, okay, this is a good, this is satisfying. No restriction hypothesis. Yes, it is called no signal, no restriction, no, not no signal. It has some name. No hyper signaling. It is a no hyper signaling principle. So if I send it for one system, 2 CVT is sufficient to simulate the whole statistics. For a composite system, so for a 2 systems, I require a 4, if I require a 4 CVT, then it satisfies this conditions. But if I require more than 4 C-bit, so then it's violate the no hyper signaling principle. And that is actually what you are asking, that I don't like information causality principle. Tell me about some probability theoretic as some single shot probability classical probability probability stochastic probability type of aspects. Now that is the one of our main aim, that why still we are not able to prove that all these beyond quantum compositions, whether they violate this no restriction hypothesis or not, that I don't know.
Can you just say briefly, what is the no hypersignaling principle? Because I don't think I'm familiar with that.
Okay. Can you see my screen right now?
Yeah.
We see your slides,
but not in your browser. Only PowerPoint.
Okay. Let me. no hyper signaling. So this is accepted in PLL. So this principle is saying that so they define some signaling dimension. What this signaling dimension means? So suppose they want to, let's see this picture first. So suppose Alice has some m different number, 1 to m. And then Alice is encoding this m different number. Alice is encoding this m different number in some system S, in different states of this system S, and then sending that systems to Bob. And then Bob is getting some different n outcomes. Okay. So then this would give some stochastic probability for P n given m. That stochastic probability, that is the, what are the achievable stochastic probability that can achieve? So that will give a convex type of sets. Okay. Now, to reproduce the same statistics, how many distinct classical number you have to send? Suppose you have to send d classical distinct number. Okay, to say, achieve the same statistics. Okay, that is also good. Now, instead of that, they are playing the same game, m to n, but they are sending some composite systems, S tensor S. Now, in that case, if they show that now it is not possible, to sending some d square number of systems, classical systems, then actually it is violating no hyper signaling principles. So what I'm saying that if I take this S, this is a qubit, S is a qubit, and this S is another qubit, I know that two-dimensional systems or a Q1 or CBITs, one CBIT is sufficient to reproduce the same statistics. Here also one CBIT is sufficient to reproduce the same statistics. And if I take the quantum compositions, S tensor S is the quantum compositions, then I know that two CBIT is sufficient to reproduce the whole statistics. That is the CNP paper by Frankel and Owen. But if this is a different compositions than quantum, then we don't know whether that would satisfy these principles or not. And that is in these probability aspects what you are actually thinking.
And that's what they would call a violation of this no hypersignaling principle, like some alternative quantum theory could violate it. I see. Okay. Thank you.
Exactly. That is this no hypersignaling principle.
Okay, great. So,
yeah,
one more question. Okay.
Yeah, so just maybe two parts. In terms of rejecting the maximal tensor product, I know that there was some work done on the guess your neighbor's input game. Are you familiar with guess your neighbor's input? The GY and I Bell inequality?
I see. Okay. Can you just tell me once again what you're saying?
Are you familiar with the guess your neighbor's input game or the guess your neighbor's inequality? So I remember there was this 2010 paper which showed by Asen, it's the unified framework for correlations in terms of quantum observables. That you can violate the guess your neighbor's input bound by allowing for product measurements on states that look like entanglement witnesses.
Exactly. Yes.
And so my question is, you know, that is an example of a task where quantum theory has no advantage over classical theory, and we're able to sort of argue that if you want physical theories to have that pattern of not doing any better than classical, then you can reject the maximal tensor product. And rejecting the minimal tensor product was this distinguishability game, but that sort of required a notion of the information dimension. Are you aware of any other sort of prepare and measure games which specifically rule out the minimal tensor product? Or like the anti-distinguishability one is the one that you would point to?
You mean pairwise?
Pairwise distinguishability.
Okay, so regarding the first point, because it will make some confusions to the other people, because I already told this Barnum has shown that all these compositions cannot give any peculiarity, whatever the correlations they will achieve, the same correlations can be achieved by all these compositions. But what you mentioned, that is not the bipartite type of thing. That is the tripartite scenario. So three-qubit compositions, so that assumes what they have done. They take a three-qubit systems and their compositions, and in their compositions, in the maximal compositions, they show some peculiarity in the space-like scenario, some more non-local correlations, which violates the gaseous neighbors inequality. So yes, in that scenario, yeah. So that is the tripartite scenario. So my main talk here is the bipartite scenario, because, and people should not confuse, because Barnum already showed. But yes, obviously that is true. In the tripartite, space-like correlations for this type of beyond quantum states get enlarged, and that violates the GYN inequality. Okay, regarding this minimal compositions, still now I don't know whether this can give any other preparation measure and prepare type of scenario where it shows violations. But I believe something else. I mean, for example, it might violate some thermodynamic principles also. This type of compositions, some thermodynamic principles maybe Landau eraser principles can be violated, but I cannot immediately formulate it. But okay. I believe that this type of compositions has the potentiality to violate thermodynamic principles like Landau eraser principles.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for the talk. It's interesting. And just let's thank Mia one more time.